Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. John, the first chapter. Just in case you didn't get your cardio in, we're going to stand up again. Are you ready? Come on, stand up on your feet. We stand for the reading of God's word, reading from the New King James Version today, and it is going to be a life-changing word as we continue in a series entitled Compelled by Love. John chapter 1, verse 35, and as soon as you're there, say, woo! All right, on your marks, get set. Here we go. Again the next day, John stood, that's John the Baptist, with two of his disciples, verse 36, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, or translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." Would you say that? Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and remained there with them that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We've found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. What did he do? He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated the stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. Who did he find? Nathanael, and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael, the skeptic, said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Other versions say, "no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Father, we stand before you, brought far and near, some driving as far as Anchorage, some from just the other side of town. But we're gathered, Lord, for the purpose of fellowship one with another, fellowship with you, and to hear your word and to be changed. Holy Spirit, I pray, activate each and every person here. Have your will, have your way, release your word, sharper than any two-edged sword, to fulfill and perform everything that you send it forth for, in fact, standing over it to see that take place, that no word of God ever goes forth and returns void. Anoint these lips of clay once again, as I believe you did in the first service. Do even more now in the second. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We do have notes for you, and if you've not received those, we'd encourage you to go ahead and get the attention of our ushers, and they will assist you in bringing you a copy of those. Those are so that you can fill them out and go preach to somebody else that same message. And years ago, this is how I was discipled. Years ago, my pastor, Dr. Morocco, he's our senior global pastor over all of our 325 different extensions now, pushing towards 500 by May. There is a bit of a flywheel, if you understand what that means. There's some exponential growth in the Philippines, exponential growth internationally in Vietnam, amazing things taking place in Africa and Mozambique, and even these United States of America. God knows we need a strong church in our nation like never before. Compelled by Love, a series that we've begun and now entitled Each One, Reach One. Would you say that? Each one, reach one. If you're a student of warfare, you'll understand that strategy, and there are students of warfare, that the West Point is a military academy among many other military academies across America. They study battles to see how decisions were made and what took place and how battles were won and how battles were lost. They study strategies. I think the greatest battle that there could ever be is the battle for souls. A battle for souls, and we are in a great battle. The strategies that you'll see God deployed and give to his kings, to his prophets in the Old Testament as well as in the New, they worked. If you follow God's strategy, it works. Mind you, we could read Proverbs 3 again to say it doesn't make any sense, some of the strategies that God gives, and that's for sure. You think about Moses, and Moses leads the children of Israel out of the house of bondage. And he brings them out. I mean, they don't even know where they're going. They didn't have all their ducks in a row. They just knew that God called them out. They're leaving. Millions of people leaving. Where are the porta potties? What are we going to eat? They get to the edge of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh thinks that he's done it. Pharaoh thinks, we're going to get them now. I think he probably spoke another language other than English. And he comes with his whole army because he thinks he can mow down God's people. And they're terrified. They're separated by a column of fire. Israel on one side, the Red Sea facing them, Pharaoh, and the column of fire behind them. And then the Red Sea parts. There's a whole sermon series on all of that. Why are you crying out to me? Move forward. Sometimes you just got to move forward and God begins to do miracles. I always want him to do it before I move. Can you do it now? No, when you put your foot in it, it's then the Jordan parts. They move forward, the Red Sea parts, and they cross over on dry ground. Pharaoh comes after them, and God closes. Y'all seen the movie, haven't you seen the movie? Okay, Pharaoh is drowned. All his armies are drowned. What kind of a strategy is that? Wiped out the enemy. The enemy that you see today, you will never see again, said the Lord to Moses. You think about that kind of strategy, kind of terrifying, because it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And over, 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe the prophets and prosper. 2 Chronicles 20 is about they're facing this incredible odds that are against them. And the Lord says, you know, go and dig ditches and send the worshipers out before you, and I'll set ambushments, King James, that the Lord will ambush them. And you go read that story, they won. How about Jericho? How about Jericho? What kind of a plan is that? March around and do what? It says that you're not supposed to talk. And I think that they weren't supposed to talk because it ruined the whole thing. Can you believe we're walking around this place? My God, one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. There's a great battle for the souls of mankind. I want you to say that. There is a great battle for the souls of mankind. As we look at this text, we see this story, which is also written in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is different. The Synoptic Gospels are Gospels, gospel meaning good news. They tell the same stories, but a little bit of a different view, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But John is very different than the other Synoptic Gospels. They're synonymous or they have commonality, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So John's very different. We read from John today. We read the story of how John, Andrew, Simon, Philip, and Nathanael met Jesus. And it's an amazing story. And as I said, the story is found in all four Gospels. You can write in your notes. The way that they became disciples was progressive growth in commitment. It was what? Progressive growth in commitment. What do you mean by that? I mean, when they started following him, it wasn't like, bam, they had it all done. There was a progressive growth and a building of their faith, and you see greater and greater and greater commitment. And in fact, in the end, if you study and read Fox's Book of Martyrs, all of them except John, who wrote John's Gospels, were basically martyred. John died, even though they tried to boil him in oil. They tried to deep fry the boy, and ended up being John the Revelator that wrote the Book of Revelation. Why would they do that? Because they were totally committed and they realized that there's something greater than their own natural lives. And we see here as we read these first verses that John the Baptist, it just says John in the New King James, that John the Baptist pointed out who Jesus was to his two disciples. And it says at the 10th hour, and that's interesting to me. They note the exact, how many of you remember when you found out, you could tell someone when you heard about 9/11, what time was it till you found out about it? Where were you when you heard the Twin Towers had fallen? Or maybe you saw it on TV. I remember right where we were. I remember the day before. I remember the phone call I got in the wee hours of the morning that there had been an attack on America, a terrorist attack. I remember that. The reason he's writing this is because they're like, dude, I remember that. It was four in the afternoon. The 10th hour is four in the afternoon. It was so significant they met the Messiah and it made a mark on them. And that's why I believe that John writes that down. Kind of amazing. The first thing that Andrew does is he brings his brother Simon to Jesus. There's no greater thing to see your family serve God. Nothing. All of us. The number one prayer request every single week is, God, save my family, save my brother, save my sister, save my auntie, save my uncle, save my mama, save my dad, save my ex-wife. Some of you are like, no, I don't want that to happen. No, you stick around. You're still growing in your commitment and understanding what it is to be a disciple again. Should we call fire down on them? You don't know what spirit you are of, Jesus said. He brings his brother Simon to Jesus. Who did he bring him to? He brought him to Jesus. And Jesus personally calls Philip, a friend of Andrew and Simon, and they lived in the same town, Bethsaida. And Philip takes Nathanael, who is called Bartholomew in other gospels. So when you read and you see things that don't quite match up, you got to study. You got to be a Berean. You know who the Bereans were? In the book of Acts, Paul talks about this group of people, Bereans, and they were from Berea, hence Bereans. And he said they went back and they would study. They just didn't take what he said for granted. They went back and studied. And I would encourage you to do the same thing that's preached here. Anytime you hear a word, don't just swallow it. You go and study it out. Press it down deep in your spirit. Think about it. Pray it through in the week. So Philip takes Nathanael, who's called Bartholomew, in the other gospels, and he brings him to Jesus too. So let's look at this strategy. It's an interesting strategy. What do you mean? Well, you don't see this massive crowd and him pulling people out. You see him touch one, and that one touches one. Each one, reach one. Let people meet Jesus, for he will personally interact with those who come to him. I have found in my life that no matter who you are, once you meet Jesus, it's game over. Maybe not right away, because sometimes we're thicker headed than at others. Some people have a thicker skull than others. And everyone said, amen. He changes Simon Peter's name to Cephas, or the rock. Now, what's interesting to me about that is that it's a prophetic word. He calls Simon Peter and he says, you're the rock. Now, Simon Peter and Cephas is the same thing. He renames him. He prophetically names him. How many of you know that Peter was like the king of putting his foot in his mouth? He was no rock. He ran from a little girl out of fire. When he was accused of being a worshiper of Jesus, like, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Ah! And he runs, fulfilling the prophetic word that before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. What kind of a rock is that? But he would become a rock. He would become someone who's strong. Really the lead apostle, especially in those first early years. I love how God defines us by our heart's cry. Simon, constantly put his foot in his mouth, but Jesus called him Cephas, or called him Peter. You know, I want to tell you that you might be here for the very first time, or maybe you've been coming here for years. No matter what degrading things were told to you by perhaps your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, or your ex-husband, or your ex-wife, or a teacher, or an employer, God speaks life over you. And you might feel like you don't have anything to offer. Well, he says you're Cephas. He'll rename you and change you so much so that when you look at Peter later, crucified upside down, right? I mean, that, wow. I mean, you go all the way. He didn't run from the little girl at the fire then, did he? You see the same thing with Nathanael. Although Nathanael was skeptical, Jesus saw his heart. Not only called him a man without guile or man without deceit, but revealed to him that he was the answer to Nathanael's prayer, or Bartholomew. You could say it's the same name. What do you mean by that? He said, When you were under the fig tree, I saw you. When he's under the fig tree, in the Bible, you see many times people praying outside. They prayed in the temple, they prayed in the temple courts, they prayed in the synagogues, they prayed in homes, but they prayed outside too. And I love praying outside. It's one of my favorite places to pray. He's underneath a fig tree. And he says that I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And then Nathanael / Bartholomew is like, oh my God, it's God. Oh my God, it's the Messiah. Why do you think that is? I think, if I could take some liberty with this, I think he was praying, I want to see the Messiah. I'm sick of Roman rule. Oh God, send the Messiah. I think he cried out. And so that when Jesus said, I saw you and I saw what you were praying, and I'm here. Whoa. Come and see. Would you say that? Come and see. We used to have a bumper sticker in the church. It was our most successful bumper sticker. It reached more people. We should probably reprint it. And it says this, come experience God. That's all it said. And it had the logo of the church. And we didn't have web pages back then. Come and experience God. Come and see. Come and see. Each one reach one. See, we're called to be used by God to bring people to Jesus. You say, I thought that was for evangelists and pastors and stuff. No, it's for all of us. It is actually a part of a commissioning to be used by God that way. So I'm just shy. That's okay. Reach shy people. John the Baptist pointed to Andrew and John. John the Baptist pointed John and Andrew to Jesus. Andrew reaches out to Simon, his brother. Philip reaches out to Nathanael. Jesus' strategy throughout the Gospels is to raise up disciples who will carry the power of God to the nations. That is what his plan is. We're all called to raise up people. We're all called to reach people. That's God's strategy. God's plan is a man. And when I say man, I mean mankind. All right. How to win the battle for souls? God's given us a strategy. It's the same one that's here. We will grow by 500 people by December. How? By doing this. How's that going to happen? You're going to get involved. You're going to reach someone by the grace of God. Can you say yes? Believe that you can be used by God. Would you? Believe that you can be used by God. You know, I think back about Karen and I, Pastor Karen now, in the early years, you know, I witnessed to her. I brought her to church. Missionary dating doesn't work too often. Let me run that through again because I didn't feel the love and there wasn't like an amen or anything. Missionary dating is usually a really bad idea. For me, it worked. She was a pagan. I was born again and I brought her to church. Anyway, I've digressed. We dated for a period of time, and the Lord spoke to me and spoke to her. It might have been on the same day. The truth is, was the exact same word. And what the Lord spoke to me, and I just felt so spiritual and just really strong in God. He said, you need to let her go because you're in the way of what I want to do in her. I thought, well, I understand that. She's got some issues, you know. So it was a sad thing, hard to obey. It took me weeks to actually do it. Little did I know. As we got together to break up that one day, we went for a run. Went for a run down on the beach of Hawaii, and I remember sitting down on a log, that big tree. We sat there, and she said, you know, I have to talk to you. I'm like, okay. I'm like ready to break up with her, you know. So I have to talk to you. God spoke to me. I said, well, he spoke to me too. I'm going to go first, you know. The Lord gave the same word. You need to get away from him, break it off, because you're in the way of what I want to do in him. The same exact word we had for each other. And we just thought, that's crazy. We cried. We were tied. We were totally tied. Emotions tied. It was hard. We had a strong soul tie. We had to break it off. And we had to burn, literally, give everything back. These were the instructions. Everything that she's given you, give it back or get rid of it. Burn all the pictures. It's over. So, you know, it was challenging. But we obeyed. And right at that time, there was this lady. Her name was Mindy Lape. Pastor Karen, just come here for a second, won't you? So Mindy Lape, you met Mindy Lape at church. And what happened?
Right at the time when the Lord had spoke to me to break up with you.
He spoke to me too.
You dumped me. It's okay.
Mindy Lape.
Mindy Lape. And Mindy, if you're online, I hope to God that you get to see this message. But God brought Mindy Lape to me. And she was a leader at King's Chapel or King's Cathedral there. She was a life group leader. And that lady took me under her wings, like some of you are doing with other people. I didn't have a car. She brought me to church. She brought me to early morning prayer. Every time I would say something that didn't line up with the word of God, she would say, "Whoa!" to the point where I was like, I couldn't even talk because I realized how much of what I said didn't line up with what God said. It didn't agree with what God said about me or my circumstances or anything. And she discipled me and got me rooted and grounded in the word of God and loved me like her own daughter. And like I feel like she saved, God just brought her there to save my life. And as a result, I got very strong in the Lord and discipled. And anyway, yes.
Where would you be without Mindy Lape? I mean, maybe God will raise up somebody else. But the truth is, that is God's method. God's method is to take you, take me, and reach people. Come on, somebody say amen. Thank God for the Mindy Lapes. I've read Barna, you know, surveys and church surveys and groups and track graphs and charts and all of that. Most people are brought to Jesus one-on-one. That is the number one way to bring, you know why? It's God's strategy. It's actually God's method. You say, well, I don't know how to lead anybody to Jesus. Well, you can grow in that and just get them here. I'll get them saved. And let me just go on ahead and say that you don't even maybe know what saved is. I'll explain that later, and the opportunity will come where you can have all your sins forgiven by the end of this service. And I'll invite you to receive Jesus, to come and see and taste and know that he is good, to have honey from the honeycomb, to have all that depression broken off of you and be delivered. We all need that. Come on, somebody say amen. That is the method that God uses, strategy. All right, how do we win the battle for souls? Well, I think the first thing is believe that God can use you. Now, that might be a stretch for some of you. You're like, oh my, I can't hardly do anything. Yet you're growing. Come on, you're growing. Believe that God can use you no matter who you are. You know, God uses children in an amazing way. He's going to church, breaking the speed limit many years ago. And the light went yellow. And it's on the island of Kauai. And there was this guy, Tata. Is a, you know, Filipino grandfather, basically, driving like a beautiful classic Datsun 1973. You know, one of the first small, tiny trucks. And he's going so slow. I'm like, yellow light. And I downshift, I pull around him, and I understood, I heard this. And if you get the first two front tires of your vehicle into the intersection, you're good. Well, as I come creening through the intersection, there's a cop. And I thought, oh, raka bashata. That's tongues. I have no interpretation as part of my prayer language. And I made the turn. And woo, lights come on, and I pull over. Now, that where I got pulled over was the main drag for heading to the church. And people are driving by, oh, Pastor! And I'm sitting there, guy behind me, I'm like, oh. And Hannah's in the front seat. And she's, Dad, I said, yeah. She says, are you in trouble? I said, yes. Yes. What's going to happen? Is the policeman going to give you a spanking? I said, yes. That's exactly right. She's like, well, you should obey. I'm like, okay. Listen, no matter who you are, God can use you. God wants to use you. You are God's method. Say it. I am. Raise your right hand to God. Say, I am God's method. Angels can't preach the gospel. Only you can. And it's a crazy thing. I would pick somebody else. I mean, I'm thinking of me, not you. But God uses people. He uses a Simon. Believe that God can use you. Can you say yes? Make yourself available. Come to church. Go to this Discover track. Get part of a team. We got dream teams. What do you mean? The team that led worship. Back there, there's 50 volunteers helping with kids' church right now. King's Kids, we call it. We have greeters and ushers and security that have high-powered weapons in places where you don't know where they are. Be a part of it. Be a part of a team. Be a part of a life group. Pastor Karen was talking about life group. You know, we would meet every Thursday, and you know, eventually she got her act together and got discipled. And I got delivered. So I got my act together eventually. And soon the Lord brought us back together shortly thereafter and then gave us incredible confirmation that we were supposed to be married. And I forever blessed the day. It's in December. The 6th, I think. The 6th of December. Just like you said, at 4 p.m. And, all right, anyway, I remember December 6th, for 23 years ago, got married. God can change you. Just show up and get discipled and be a part of things. And we were life group leaders in those days. We saw people healed of cancer. We saw incredible stories of deliverance. Whew. I'm going to tell this one. Ian Drummond, my mom knows because my mom was a part of that life group. I just saw a picture of us in that life group. We didn't age a day. And so, in the spirit, Ian Drummond was separated from a son that he had at some war. Now, I don't know what war it was. I get kind of confused, but the son was born in Europe. And he didn't know where he could find. There was no internet back then. Or it was just starting, maybe. And no, there was no internet. No internet back then. And so that shows you how long we've been going after Jesus, a little while. And so we prayed in that Thursday night. He said, I want to see my son. Can we pray? And so we prayed, God, would you bring his son? Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, in the last days, you turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. We prayed that prayer. The following week, everybody say the following week. Okay, I'm not talking about 6 months later. Sometimes it is that way. Sometimes you pray and it takes years for things to break. But the following week, his son contacted him. He was an engineer for a small company called Porsche in Germany and was one of their lead engineers. He had hired a private investigator to find his father. They found him in Hawaii, got the phone number, hunted him down, and called him the following week. He came in to tell us, tears. He found me. He found me, and he told me the whole story. Within a week later, because he could just, he didn't have to spend, you know, wait 3 weeks to buy the cheap ticket because he didn't have to wait. He loaded him, his wife, and I think there's three kids. Three? Two or three? You don't remember? Two or three? I'm going to call it three then. I'm safe. And they showed up at our life group. So from the time we prayed, 2 weeks later, they're there at the house. We meet them. We're all weeping because we're like, how does that happen? And so I taught, and then I gave an opportunity for people. All of them get saved. They all receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They came to church that Sunday and got filled with the Holy Spirit. and went back to Germany about a week later. Wow. What would happen if we didn't have that life group? What would have happened if we didn't have the team? Well, you say, well, you did. What do we do? Well, some of you are resting on your laurels. Some of you are sitting on your blessed assurance. And God's calling you to get involved, but you make excuses or reasons. Well, I'm a woman. Well, I was a drug addict. Well, I went to prison. Well, I don't know too much about the Bible. I've only been coming to the church a small period of time. Listen, God's method is a man. God's method is you. God's method is me. People, each one, reach one. Say it. Each one, reach one. Make yourself available. Two, pray. Pray that God will use you. Pray that God will use you. I mean, for the life of me, I couldn't think that God would use me, and I began to pray. I started realizing, well, I met this guy. His name is Michael Gannon. He became it's crazy. I mean, Michael Gannon was a drug addict pushing dope throughout Los Angeles and wanted by the FBI. This is his story. He gets saved. He gets filled. He goes to our school. He ends up getting licensed to preach. And then God elevates him in this amazing way. He ends up becoming, he takes these classes, he gets called from a friend, and he ends up becoming an FBI negotiator. Who could actually be wanted by the FBI now becomes an FBI negotiator, and he talks hostages out of situations. Who could do that but God? Wanted by the FBI, now he works with them. Negotiating. And then they gave him a badge. And I'm thinking, if God can use this guy. No, I actually sat, I was like, you know, 3/4 of the way back, sitting, and I hear him sharing his testimony. I'm thinking, he needs to like comb his hair and get a grip. How could he possibly? if you can use him, I'm in. You can do it for him. You can use me then. And I remember saying, oh, I want to do that. I want to be an FBI. I want a badge. I can speed anywhere and just flip it out. Pray that God will use you to lead someone to Jesus. Pray that God will use you to lead someone to be a disciple. Would you ask God to use you? Even if you have hardly any faith, would you believe that God will use you to do that? Can you say yes? Get involved in this Compel campaign. Ushers, help me out as I have keys. Just keys, please. Pass one of these out. Take large stacks and pass it to everybody. Would you take one of these cards and on the back side of it, there's a place where you can write names. I'm asking you to be a part of the strategy that God has given us. That each one of us, can you imagine? Actually, if each one of us reached one person, I'm not even sure how we'll do that. I'm just believing for 500. That's why we open Friday night. Friday night, 7:00, powerful service. Open Friday night to just reach more people. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we're building the building and doing all that we're doing. It's to reach people. Get involved in this campaign. Would you? Would you prayerfully do it? Would you pray? Write names down and pray. Right, not only write names down and pray, but begin to invite them. Hey, you need to come. Come to what? Come to Kings. Come and see. I've had people walk in across the threshold of the sanctuary and stop, lean against the sound booth, and begin to weep. And like, what's going on in here? Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. You know why it feels like you've come home? You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because that's where you came from. Welcome home. That's where you came from heaven. You didn't come out of the primordial slime. You came from heaven. Why I was in my mother's womb. He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. He knit me together. He knew me. So get involved. Would you take this home? We're not going to collect it from you. You take this. Write the names out. Stick it in your Bible. Begin to pray. Come on, I want to tell you that if you were to do a study to find out how many people came to the Lord here because someone prayed, you'll find out actually it's just about everybody. Look at C. Don't ever think that your effort's in vain. Please turn to this scripture as we bring this to a close. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Because there's times that come. There's times that come. I remember having a moment where I felt like, man, am I actually even doing anything? I mean, you just feel like, all that I've done, I don't really see much fruit. I was going through a season like that where I was just struggling. You know, I want to see, I'm of you know, you want to see lots of fruit, maybe you just see this much. It's going through a season like that, and I had witnessed and tried to disciple this guy, but it was impossible. I mean, he was stubborn. He'd constantly go back to drugs, constantly go back to violence, constantly go back. Y'all there, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Do what? Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So it's having those thoughts. And I went back to the islands where our main church that birthed all of these 326, I think it is now, extensions. And I'm worshiping, and I see this crazy on fire guy, top row, hands raised, worshiping with everything he has. And I'm looking, and it's the guy that I tried to get in church, you know, 15 years earlier. And I'm looking at him, and he's like, yes. And he points at me. I'm like, it is a guy. And he's like, thank you, God. And I'm like, I just started weeping because I thought, oh, he was hopeless. Oh, he was hopeless is now one of our pastors, is now leads one of our churches in Kihei. I preached for him last week. Don't you underestimate what God could do through you. I think about my own life. Dr. Morocco uses me an example pretty regularly. No, it's kind of funny because when he uses me an example, I almost always have the same thought. Like he says, there was this guy, it's one of my staff. He came into the church, his mind was blown. And then whenever I hear it, I'm like, no, he wasn't. And then I checked with somebody else. You know what he says, my mind was blown? Oh yeah, you know, your mind was blown. I'm like, what? I've come to decide, I think my mind was blown. He said he had so much emotional problems, so many problems. I'm like, okay, that part's true, but the mind-blown part, I don't know. I've decided that I think maybe my mind was blown. And I kept coming. I kept coming by the grace of God. I can't take any credit. Honest fact is, Pastor Karen and I just kept showing up. At times like a bad penny. Just, there they are again. There he is again. What would happen if you witnessed to somebody? Or you just said, hey, you know what? Maybe you can't witness. We'll give you some tools. But maybe you could say, hey, you know what? Just come and see. Just come and see. Just bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. Invite them. Invite them. Each one. Reach one. That's the method. That's the strategy. In the New Testament, it's the same strategy today. Would you challenge yourself? Would you challenge yourself to reach one? Invite them to come, but connect with somebody who can help you grow in the things of God. So I get to preach in Pastor Daniel Rice's church. For those of you that know Pigeon, they call him Pastor Rice. which is hysterical. Pass as in pass the rice. Rice is a big dish in Polynesia. Pass the rice. While I'm preaching there, Shelley Lauer, my mother flew to Maui many, many years ago, decades ago, 30 years ago, had nothing. She had a Bible. That's not nothing, is it? She called a local church and said, I need help. I got no place to stay. I'm all by myself. And Shelley Lauer and her husband showed up and picked my mother up, brought her back to their house. She stayed there, got her feet under the ground, got discipled, got ministered to, and became a great woman of God that then prayed me in and prayed in my brother Chris, who has that amazing haircut right there in the center of the church right there. Good looking guy. My older brother. Amazing. What could God do through you? I got to close. Whole worship team now, if you'd come, please. Make this church. Make this one. This is your church. This is your. Come on, someone say, this is my church. How we move forward, will you own that? How we progress, and whether we reach this community or not, will you own that? Will you take personal responsibility with me? It's not my job. You know what my job is? To equip you, get you on fire, going after the lost. Oh, I'm going to reach the lost too, but I'm here to equip you, to get you big and strong in God, along with an amazing team of leaders that perhaps you would consider become a leader, so that we would reach this community. There's easy 75,000 people going to hell in this community, the whole valley. That's very generous. That's 25,000 are a part of a church, and then we're assuming the 25,000 are actually born again. So that's generous, 75,000 that don't know Christ. Each one, say it with me. Each one. Make this church one that continually reaches out to others and see them become disciples of Jesus. I don't know what I would do if it wasn't for people that took me by the arm, told me I need to brush my teeth. Karen wouldn't have had anything to do with me if I didn't brush my teeth. I stopped brushing my teeth for a season until I had somebody encourage me to say, you know, you need to get a lot of sweaters all over your teeth. I was single. But soon I met my girl. Hallelujah. Each one, reach one. Get discipled. Can you say amen? Stand up on your feet all across this place. Come on.
Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that.
Can you imagine if God would use you like that?
Exceedingly.
Would you imagine that God will use you to change this state, to change this nation? Can you imagine? One person at a time. Each one. Reaching one. Can you say it? Sing it.
Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that.
I want to keep my word to you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're not right with Jesus, don't you leave this place in that condition. Give your heart to Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus. You and I have lied, stolen, cheated, lusted, taken the Lord's name in vain. If you're honest, you've broken God's word, God's law, and you can't earn it. So the only way that you can be forgiven is by receiving the free gift that God offers. He so loved you, so loved the world, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's anybody, whosoever believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you, online, 16:10 a.m. on all of our platforms, you say, that's me, you want to get right with Jesus, then pray this prayer. There'll be others that are praying with you. Come on, pray it right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father. Come on, say it right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die in my place, to rise again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Fill me full of your Spirit. Give me a hunger for the Word. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Come on, say, Lord, I'm going to reach someone. I'm going to be used to impact someone. In Jesus' name, help me to make a difference in this world. Help me to grow in the things of God so that when it's all said and done, I will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Put your hands together for God. Come on, let's sing it again. Come on.
Exceedingly, abundantly, above all
that
we ask or
think. Come on, sing it again.
Exceedingly,
God's raising up an army. Each one.
Each one,
you can reach somebody. Pray that God helps you to do it. We'll grow by 500 at the end of December, and then we'll make another goal. We're going to see it happen. Can you say yes? Can you say amen? Wonderful. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Bless your people. Cause your face to shine upon us. Lift up your countenance towards us. Be gracious to us. Keep us and give us peace in Jesus' name. We love you. We'll see you tonight. God bless you.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.